You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Tobi Schwat. The Matan Torah is the topic of this week's parsha. And you would think that a parsha which speaks about Matan Torah would maybe have a title which fits a little more to describe this event, this momentous event. Maybe you call it Parshas Matan Torah, Parshas Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Har Sinai. What is the parsha called? The parsha is named after a ger, someone who joined Am Yisrael recently, that the parsha doesn't have a chilek v'nachal of Am Yisrael as a regular Jew. He has a different additional that we got. Parshas Yisrael. From all parshas in the Torah, why is Matan Torah mentioned in a parsha which is called Yisroel? How do we understand it? Chazal tell us that Yisroel was zoichet to be miyaser a parsha of the Torah. He had a parsha of the Torah. Understood? But the parsha is called Yisroel. The Matan Torah belongs to this week's parsha. We always mention the Zohar that says you divide the parsha, the way the parsha is divided, it comes out from very high sources. So in the parsha of the Torah is not a coincidence that's right after history. It's part of that topic. How does Matan Torah belong to history? Furthermore, the parsha the history add to the Torah, we make a big fuss about it. That's it's called Yeser. That he had a parsha Torah was what? Was the advice that he gave his son-in-law Moshe Rabbeinu when he went to judge Am Yisrael. And what did he tell him? He said, Novel Tiboil, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Really? What was the big chiddush over here? What did he add? What didn't he, what Moshe had known on his own? That you need Yisroel to give this incredible advice that maybe you should delegate authority to other people. That was really, really what he said. Why is that such a big chiddush? What is the addition? Obviously, there's something deep over here that has to do with Yisroel as a man, or what Yisroel did to come and bring this Eitzah, and as this is the Akdama, to Matan Torah. And finally, tonight is Tu Bishvat. And Tzadik HaKohen already asks, what is Tu Bishvat for us? What is Tu Bishvat in the Mishnah? Tu Bishvat in the Mishnah is something very simple. Is that the true Moiser, my choice, for my Moiser more, the year switches on Tu Bishvat. Meaning the fruits that grew before Tu Bishvat belong to the previous year. And the fruits that grew after Tu B'Shvat belong to the next year. So that's a very specific theme regarding Tu B'Shvat. What does it do with us? Why us, by Chutz La'aretz, we don't say Tachnun on Tu B'Shvat? Why? What is the big Eisik? What are we getting in Tu B'Shvat? What's happening in Tu B'Shvat? How do we relate another day, Kodesh of Am Yisrael, to us? So, to explain that, we'll start with the Gemara tells us that there's four Rosh Hashanah. There's four Rosh Hashanahs, four Yimei Din. And the day of Matan Torah that we celebrate Matan Torah during the year, not the parasha, which is Shavuos, that's the day that, what is the judgment of that day? Is the judgment on Peor Se'ilah, the fruits of the tree. What is the connection between the fruits of the tree, the judging fruits of the tree, and Shavuos? Why are we judging Peiros Ha'ilon on the day of Matan Torah, the day of Shavuos? So understand that the Gemara, we always like to mention here, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us the story that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and he wanted to bring down the Torah to Am Yisrael. So the Malachim gathered around and said, "What are you doing?" And they tried to fight Moshe Rabbeinu from letting him to bring the Torah down to here, to earth. Eventually, Moshe Rabbeinu won the argument. How did he win the argument? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told him, the mitzvahs don't belong to you. It says, Loisirtzach, Loisignoy, Loisinaf, what does that have to do with you? Do you have a father and mother that you have to respect? How do you translate the mitzvahs to you? And then the Malachim accepted the fact that the Torah is going down to here. So the obvious question was, what was that Malachim thinking in the first place? They didn't know what the Torah was about, that they started fighting about it. Obviously, they figured out before what they're fighting for. Be'elama, as the Ramban, as we always mention, the Ramban, beginning of the Torah, tells us that the Torah has different ways to where it appears in the world. Some ways appear, there is the lower dimension of Torah, where the way the Torah appears here, when he speaks about mitzvahs and, you know, bin adam l'chaveiro and all the things they have to do with relate to day-to-day actions. But there's a much higher level to Torah. The Ramban says, Kol HaTorah is Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yossi mentioned. Everything is the way it appears. The Malachim see the Torah in a different dimension, a different level. And they want the Torah to stay there and speak to them in their language. So that's what they wanted the Torah. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu answer? Moshe Rabbeinu replies, he says, no, but you have to be the Torah down because I have the mitzvahs. They say, but when the Torah on a higher level. Elama, the Oymek HaDavar is, so what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Malachim, is what Torah is all about, is that Torah needs to go and penetrate to the lowest level of the world. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a human being to have a void to fill. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the world. As we say, Adon Olam Hashem Molach Beterem Kol Yetzir Nivra. Before any Yetzir was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already a Melech. After everything is done, he's always going to be a Melech. So we have the king before. But this world was created for Adam to be able to fill the void and connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a place where it's not easy to connect it. To reveal Hashem in a place where it's not easy to reveal. The tachlis of the Torah, which is the Gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Yisrael, Raisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chadu, is to go and penetrate and go down to a place where normally would not be clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And to bring the challenge to the world that you have to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a place where you don't see Him. The other rabbi, I want the Torah to be able to get down to the slowest levels of the world and there to be able to create Torah, create HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be Megala Hashem in such a low place. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Malachi, right, you have Torah, and that high level, your Torah is talking about Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Torah belongs over there. But you need the Torah to come down to here, to Bnei Adam, to be able to speak at the most mundane, simple items, about Bnei Adam HaKaveru, about day-to-day life. The Torah that you have, can it speak at such a low level? And only when it goes down to Adam, it can get to that. And the Malachim agreed. The Torah needs to go down to the lowest place. We always mention here the Kotzker, famous Kotzker that says of the Pasuk, Anche Kodesh Tiuli. Most people focus on the word Kodesh. Not regular human beings that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants holy people. Says the Kotzker, I focus on something else. It says, Anche Kodesh Tiuli. You have to be people of Kedusha. Malachim, I have enough. I have enough Malachim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when human beings that are coming from the down, from the lowest level of the world, and then become Kodesh, that's the challenge of the world. To bring the Torah from down here in the lowest place of earth. That's the tachlis of the world. The Torah is coming here to elevate the lowest place of the world. Chazal tell us, the Gemara says, what was the fruit that Adam HaRishon ate? Adam HaRishon did a chet. and a challenge on the first day of the Bria, will he listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu, will he reveal Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world? What did he eat? He ate Eitz Hadas. What was Eitz Hadas? So there's a few shittas in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that what he ate was chito hoisa. It was wheat. That's the Gemara in Brachos. Tav mem. Shet ena tina gudea likrois abo v'ima achi itoim tam dogar. A baby doesn't know how to say abo v'ima, doesn't know how to speak before he eats bread. So the Eitz Hadas is wheat. Or it says, therefore, we have a other meaning that maybe you have to say Boya Priya eats on wheat. Wheat is a tree? Does wheat grow on a tree? Why is it called Eitz Hadas? So it's not a pasha that's mentioned in Farish. Now, what happened is like this. When Adam Arisha did his chait, he lost his main machol, his main food, lost its level of being a tree. And it turned to be a grain. Turned to be a tavua. It doesn't grow anymore from a tree. It grows from the ground directly. That's what happened to Chet Adam HaRishon. What's so significant about being a fruit growing from a tree or being a grain growing from the ground? Mind of Kamino. Why does that have to do with Eitz Hadas? Why does that have to do with the Chet Eitz Hadas? That because of the Chet, his food turned from being a fruit in the tree from being, say, growing in the ground. Basically, what the Gemara is saying here is because it used to be fruit in the tree, so maybe we continue to say Boya Priya Eitz. But it changed because of the Chet. What's the change? So Ramoy Shapir is Zechetzach Levoch, I always used to say, the Pshat is like this. You know what's the difference between a fruit growing from the tree or a fruit growing from the ground? A fruit growing from the tree, you always know where it came from. You always connect it to his root. The root always stays there. That's what really the Gemara says. The next line of the Gemara in Brachos says, how do you define a tree? When you take the fruit, the root stays. The source of the fruit is always there. The branches, the leaves, they stay there when you take the fruit. But chita, grain, when you cut out the chita, there's nothing left. There's no roots anymore. Maybe there's roots, there's nothing that is nikar on the Adama. The Eitz, and this has to do with Langa or Richas that we're not going to get into today. You have the Eitz and you have the Pri. You have the tree and you have the fruits going out of the tree. The Eitz represents the source, the Mokor. The fruits represents what's growing away from the Mokor, away from the source. Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam Arisha went, and he separated the clarity of where did he come from. Before Chet Eitz Hadas, it was very clear that what Adam is connected to his source. What's the source of Adam? The Reish Lael. He's connected and he speaks directly to him. There's no mechitzis. There's no busha. It's a much higher level of relationship and connection. The fruit is clear where it comes from. After Chet Eitz Hadas, the Hester Ponim came. There's a richuk, there's a distance. There's a separation. And therefore the fruit is not so clear where it's coming from. So now the fruit is not growing in a tree anymore. The fruit is growing from the ground. The point that just we take out from here is from now on, the avodah, the work of Adam that Adam has, is to go back and try as much as possible to connect the fruit to the tree. Try to show where it's all coming from. The Torah was given to the world, and the purpose was to be eventually, or even right away, according to Shwan Shita and the Gemara, to mitak and Adam Arishan. Am Yisrael received the Torah, and they had the opportunity to go back and fix right away Adam Arishan. The Torah is coming to the world to take the most distant things, things that seem to be completely unconnected, unrelated to their source. It seems to be a dark place, has no shaykhis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and connect it and show the relationship between the fruit and the tree. Because the chait was to separate that, to create the uncertainty, to create the lack of clarity of where the fruit and the tree connect. So the avoid of Adam and what Torah has brought to the world is to connect the most distant thing back to the source. That's when the Torah comes down to the lowest places of the world to connect that. Now, just to add what we spoke about last week, there are three stages of going on Mitzrayim. You have Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Gilui Elokus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Spoke last week about Kriyas Yamsuf. That's where you start understanding how a human being is able to be in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then comes Matan Torah. Here is where you have a place of an Adam, a human being, where here is your Tafkid. You know what your Tafkid? It's your world. And it's a place where, so to speak, you don't see Hashem. You have to create things and you have to do and work and generate things over here to show that Kadosh Baruch Hu is here. That's all the Torah is all about. Pemis is, Boimik, and I can go too much into it, but the idea is that anywhere a person chooses, he's going to reveal Hashem. Choosing good, obviously that's Torah and Mitzvahs. Choosing bad, you'll be punished for doing bad. So he's going to reveal Kadosh Baruch Hu through getting the Torah and doing the right and doing actions based on the Torah. But the tachlis is for a person to do it the right way, and that is to be kind Torah and Mitzvahs and reveal a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this distant world. Connect the fruit to the source. The din that you have in Shavuos is what? The din is al peiroi sa'ilim, on the fruits of the tree. Because really the whole avodah that we have is to connect back the fruits to the tree. So the din and Shavuos, what's connected about there, obviously there is a partial idea of the peiroi sa'ilim. We have a din of how fruits will go on the tree. But why are we dealing with peiroi sa'ilim? Because really what we are is fruits trying to go back to the source and connect to the source and show how we're related to the source.
It's
the Torah. How do we connect to that? How are we fruits coming out of that? Right? It says that that's what we created. How do we connect to the source? That's why the din on Shavuos of Matan Torah is Perusayim. So that's the idea of Torah. So we go back and connect this at this stage to this parsha. Matan Torah is a gilui from the most distant places. Yisroi is a person in this generation, that generation, maybe throughout generations, that he was the most distant person possible. He says that he went and worshipped Ev Eved Zohar. He was a koimer for Ev Eved Zohar. He was a priest for Ev Eved Zohar possible. He's the one who was so distant, so far, and he himself went and connected to Torah. And not Stami connected to Torah, he did it on his own. He's a ger. He did it, now he didn't belong over here, but he was a ger. When the Gemara wants to tell us the Maila of Avraham Avinu, one aspect of it is Avraham Avinu is called a Nodiv because he was Tchila Legerim. A ger is a Nodiv. The Maila of a ger is that he is doing it on his own. He's not, doesn't belong to any society. He's not influenced. He's not forced to do it. It's completely a connecting to his own source, his own will, his own neshama, which connects to the original source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yisroel is coming to bring. And because the tachlis of the Torah is to reveal the connection to the furthest away thing, so Torah is given in Parshas Yisroel. What did Yisroel, what was the eitz of Yisroel, the big advice of Yisroel? So I believe we spoke about it last year in the Parshas Yisroel. But in short, the idea is Yisroel told Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a shayla. What happened with Moshe Rabbeinu before Yisroel came? Had the Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and dealt with 600,000 men? How is it possible? So it's brought down, I suppose, in David's farm, that it was a nace. It was a miracle over here. The Moshe Rabbeinu was able to handle Am Yisrael. So what is Yisroel doing? But according to what we learn in Pshat, he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, you're such a high level. You're close to be a malach almost. The Torah by you is revealed in a way that one person can teach Torah to 600,000 people. But that's not the tachlis of the Torah. The tachlis of the Torah is to bring it down to earth. You need to be able to have Torah in the ways and rules and regulations of this world. If you want the Torah to be in this way, you need to have Sorry, I love you. Sorry, may. Sorry, you have to delegate authority. Not because you need it, because Moshe is not able to handle it, but because that's what the Torah needs to be so in the lowest level, it could go down to elevate that to Torah. You want to bring it to this world. Yisroel came from an outside world, from Olam Hazeh. He's the one who gives that Eitzah. He's the one who's miyad the parashat Torah to teach us how Torah can come down to this world. And when Torah comes down to the world, it belongs to this parashat. Because that's what Torah is all about, to connect the distant thing back to the source, Peirusei. And with that, I want to connect that to Tu Bishvat. The Bnei Yisachar says, a gewaldige idea, of why is Tu Bishvat, what's going on in Tu Bishvat? So he says, you know, the Gemara tells us, there's a Machlokes, Rosh Hashanah, the Machlokes, when was the world created? Was the world created in Tishrei or in Nisan? Tishrei means that the Adam Arisha was created in Aleph Tishrei. That's according to Rabbi Lazar. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, Adam Arisha was created in Aleph Nisan. So our Dan Tosus already says it. The Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's both of them true. The way Tosus says it is all of a machshava. It was the idea in Tishrei and the Maisa in Rishchodesh Nisan. So I understood what does it mean. There was a thought process that came out. So the way the Tzaddik gives it to us is that the as Kepashtis, Adam HaRishon was created in Tishrei. That's like a more a theoretical idea. It didn't really come on Lamaisa because he right away lost it. And he, from Adam HaRishon, the most people are not Am Yisrael. The Tachlis Adam, the Maisa Adam that came was Am Yisrael. When is Am Yisrael starting? In Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, but it's parallel to Bria's Adam. So says the Bnei Sassar, if the Adam is created in Aleph Nisan, Aleph Tishrei, when is the first day of creation of the world? So in the technical that we have in Maisa Bereishis, it's Adam Rishon is created on the sixth day. So the first day of creation is Chafei. So if it's in Tishrei, it's Chafei Elul. If it's in Nisan, it's Chafei Adar. How does that fit? We speak about Am Yisrael, what happened to Chafei Adar? That it's something to think about. According to Reb Tzaddik. But the creation of the Adam leads to the sixth day of the creation. The first day is Chafei, either Elul or Adar. That's the day of creation. 40 days before creation comes to the world, there is the chraza, the announcement, the will, the planning of the thing to come to the world. 40 days before Chafei Adar is Tu Bishvat. Or in Elul, 40 days before Chafei Elul is Tu B'Av. And that's the 2 days that we have, 40 days. You have Tu B'Av in the summer and Tu Bishvat in the winter, the 40 days before the creation. As we mentioned, according to Reb Tzaddik, the creation that we have now in Nisan is the creation of Am Yisrael. That's really what we're referring to. So Tu Bishvat is the 40 days before the beginning of the process of the creation of the Adam of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, who is Am Yisrael. What do you mean? Of Yud Kei, of 15 and 15. Yeah. And the Vav Kei is Tu Bishvat. Very good. Okay. So that could be correct. So what do you mean the Yud Kei?
Oh,
it's because it's Tzuruf.
And order for Av, because it's Mizrach. Then it switches in Tuba after Mizrach, and it's Yud Kei. And then Tu Bishvat
is the opposite, right? Okay. Perfect. Very good. Okay. So now I think that's what Rabbi Yisachar says. So let's continue that idea on. Shchayish Nisan, Am Yisrael is created. Where is the tachas of the tafkdev Am Yisrael in the world? Where is the Yitzias Yitzrayim end, so to speak? Is it Matat Torah? As the Ramban says, the really Matat Torah is it's like a look like a long Chol HaMoed, right? Pesach, Shchayish Nisan is where we start, you get to Pesach, and then we really go on until Shavuos. So meaning, Shavuos is the end of the process of the creation of Adam, which begins in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And beginning of that process, the creation of Adam, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, starts in what, according to Bnei Yisachar? On Tu Bishvat. So Tu Bishvat is the beginning of the process. And Matan Torah is the end of the process. And here, just to clarify this, we can have, there's a void which I believe is brought down in the name of Sfasemis. He says that if you look at Shavuos, what's the day in Shavuos? What is the day of Shavuos? Peirusei Elul. How do we celebrate Shavuos? What do we put in shuls and we put it in the house? We put trees, and we put asavim, we put the roots. We put the branches. Tu Bishvat, what's the Tu Bishvat? Chag Leilonos. That's what you think about the trees itself. And what do we celebrate Tu Bishvat? By eating the fruits. By eating pears, they eat them. So what you see is, you see the tree and the fruits, and the day of the fruits, we celebrate the trees, and the day of the trees, celebrate the fruits. That's the void. And people use it for Sana's drash, to connect with their parents and children, etc. But according to what we're learning now, because of the Bizdama Gavaldik, we're talking about, according to what Ramosha taught us, is that we have the din of how the fruits connect to the root, to the tree. So, what is the tree? The tree is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving to the world. The fruits is what we do and how we connect our Maaseh to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our fruits are revealed on Matan Torah. The tree, the beginning of the process, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu all over Machshava, when he wants to have it, that's Tu Bishvat. So really, all our Avodah is to connect the fruits that we have in Shavuot, that we receive the Avodah in Shavuot, to the root, to the tree itself, which belongs to Tu Bishvat, which is the beginning of the Machshava, creating the world. So it's not just a nice drush. It's a Hemer Advarim. And Paris Seilon, when we do B'Israel, all we're trying to do is to connect the fruits to the tree. So we show, we bring trees to Shul and Shavuot to say our fruits connect to these trees. And when we're in Tu Bishvat, Shmuel is saying, I'm bringing a tree to the world. I need the fruits to connect to them. So we're dealing with the fruits. Because Tu Bishvat in Yom Torah is the beginning of a process. The process begins in Tu Bishvat and ends in Shavuos, a process of connecting a distant relation to the source. So in Mele, that comes out, we have this week, Tu Bishvat, is Chal on Parshas Yisroi, meaning the process that we have started Tu Bishvat, going to Matan Torah, we have already into the Tachlis in this week's parsha that we get into Matan Torah. And
Hagim Shani tells us that what comes in the middle of our whole process, the Paris Leilon, is the end of Purim. But now Shleishim Yom Kedem Achag. What happened on Purim? Shtei Hagim Shani, Haman told Achashverosh, destroy the Yidden. And one of the things he particularly mentions is they bring to their Shavuos, they put trees in their shul.
Ah,
very nice. See,
that's what Haman did. That's what
right. Disrupt the Paris Neilim. Mamish mentioned this.
He mentioned very good facts. He said, Tagu Shani brings that Paris. One of the things that disturbed Haman is the fact that you have trees in the shul and shores. But one more thing, if you want to add to that Purim, where that will end, is Lamaisa. We have a machlekes, but Shammai holds that. When is the Rosh Hashanah Leilonis on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Mean it's 40 days earlier. What, according to that, where do you get 40 days earlier? 40 days according to the Cheshire of Bnei Yisrael. It ends on Yud Aleph Adar. Yud Aleph Adar is the beginning of the process of Purim. As the Mishnah beginning of Megillah says, that Purim could be any day. The earliest day that Purim could be is Yud Aleph. So, something to think about. According to Bis Hillel, the Paris Eilon is the start of the process to get to Pesach. And according to Bit Shammai, it's the start of the process to get to Purim. And this Efshol Leharich Bezban Acher should be Zoyche to really connect the fruits to the tree and be a Megala of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world and have Rishayach to the real source.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.